worship theme this month is possibility. And today I'm speaking of that generally. What does it mean to be a people of possibility? And here's a story about that, the story of Calliope Nikitas. At the age of 36, Calliope developed an autoimmune disease. She had dedicated her life to health, wellness, and fitness as a microbiologist and researcher who had become a personal trainer and yoga teacher. As she says, regarding her disease, "That's not how things worked. I thought I had practically guaranteed good health and quality of life well into my 90s. Calliope experienced herself as caring and bright and capable, and someone who had lived through some pretty big challenges in life. She thought she could handle anything as long as she had her health. She says, "My personal credo was, I can deal with anything life throws at me so long as I have my health." So Calliope saw health as necessary for control of her life, as the one thing absolutely necessary for her to face anything that came to her. But now, her new normal, her new health status included pain, fevers, hair loss, and migraines. And these symptoms appeared in no understandable pattern, which made it hard to manage them and treat them. Her life, as she said, spiraled into one continuous chaos. She couldn't perform any basic self-care like showering, laundry, cooking, or shopping. She would drag herself to her Monday to Friday job and then lie in bed for 48 hours each weekend. Her future looked terrifying, and she had no family or partner to call on. Calliope writes, "I fell into a deep dark hole. If I couldn't maintain a job and basic self-care, what was next? A caregiver? Social assistance? And further than that, what would the rest of my years look like? I kept waiting for the universe to shift, for some external force to change my life." She did a lot of if-only thinking. If only she had money, a different job, a partner, no need to work, it would all be easier. She was, as she says, angry, bitter, pissed. Calliope thought that because she was a good person, she had built up good karma, and that what goes around comes around. But help did not appear, even though she thought help should appear according to her economic theology. But that is not what happened. What did happen was that Calliope had a series of pivotal awakenings. The first was prompted by an anonymous meme on social media. A bird sitting in a tree is never afraid of the branch breaking because its trust is not in the branch, but in its own wings. Calliope realized she was focusing only on the branch, her external world, and hoping some outside force would change her life. And then she realized, through these various awakenings, that she hadn't considered her own power. Because her health had always meant freedom and power to her, the absence of health therefore had to mean powerlessness. And she understood that was wrong. She realized that the power, the possibilities, were inside of her, not outside. Her life would be determined by how she reacted to her circumstances, not anyone or anything else. Calliope began to focus on trusting herself and focusing on her strength and resilience and the fact that she was still alive and breathing. She writes, "I have wings. I have power. Maybe not the way I used to or how I imagined it or what I would prefer, but so long as I am breathing, I am a living force. That is what directs your life. You are a conglomerate of cells, a conglomerate of energy. You direct that energy whichever way you wish. So spread your wings, my friends, and trust in the power that you are, because the same is true for you. It would be easy to hear of this as just one more simple story about making lemonade out of your lemons, right? But it is much more than that, really. This story speaks to the power of possibility in our lives, the possibility that comes when we realize that the power and energy to direct our lives in all circumstances rest only in ourselves. And realizing that makes possibilities possible. Jeff Bogazic writes about what believing in your own power and energy, what believing in your own possibility does for you in an essay titled The Majestic Beauty of Possibility. The Majestic Beauty of Possibility. When you believe that something is possible, everything changes as it did for Calliope. Specifically, Jeff says that three things happen when we believe that something is possible. And these are spiritual shifts as well as mental and emotional shifts. First, if we believe that something is possible, our mentality, our perception of reality shifts completely. We see what could be instead of simply what is. We are not limited by the present moment, but can see a future that we want. And second, if we believe that something is possible, our efforts change. When we don't see a possibility, we can be demoralized and depressed and energyless. But believing that something is possible means that our energy returns. We give more, we do more, we go beyond what we thought our capabilities were. Because we believe that we can, and we trust that we can, because we believe in our possibilities. So finally, when we believe that something is possible, we change our results. The outcome changes. What we believe is possible becomes reality. All kinds of things have been deemed impossible for humans. Running a 4-minute mile, which I think kids do now, landing on the moon. It was believed when autos were invented, like it, that if they went like over like 40 miles an hour, we wouldn't be able to handle it cognitively. And I think many of us believe that we could not come back from a severe illness or other catastrophe. So how do we decide if something is possible or not? I mean, I could say that I want to wake up a few weeks from now with my body and health of me when I was 25 renewed and with red hair to boot, while we're dreaming here. But that really doesn't seem too likely. Partly, the decision to believe something is an act of discipline, of mindset, of will. It's a decision that you make, but there's more to it. Author Kathy Lundborg speaks about the idea of writing or telling your own story of possibility in the third person and in the present tense, like it's a novel or more like a short story. Kathy believed in her own power, that she is the author of her life story, so she practiced writing it a bit. The writing of that possibility can spur the decision to live it. So Kathy wrote about herself. Kathy is in the process of recreating her life, her way. What she is finding is this is no easy task. It's actually quite amazing how many mental programs inhibit possibility. Kathy's become aware that some fears are guiding her into a mindset of inauthenticity. Here is a lesson she has learned over and over. If she creates her life based on what she knows now, she will once again be limiting herself. If she bases her trajectories on fear, she will depart from her authentic path and once again find herself living a life of conformity that is untrue to her. So Kathy went on in the third person in the present tense for a few more paragraphs to define her values and her activities and her desired possibilities. And so the way it's written, it sounds like it's already happening or already happened. And it's very powerful to read that. So writing your own possibility story can bring you to a place of belief in your own possibilities. So as some spiritual homework, I invite you in the coming weeks to write that third person present tense story of your possibilities, to support you in believing them, because that is the starting point for making them real. And maybe you could share your story of possibility to someone else and hear theirs. That would be a fun thing to do. So far, I've been speaking about the power of possibility in the lives of individuals. But everything I've said about becoming a person of possibility applies to communities as well, including beloved religious communities like this one. It is definitely good to solve problems, no doubt about it. But if all you're asking is what's wrong, that's a limitation. It is critical that we notice what we care about and that we ask what's possible. And if together we assume that many others share our dreams, then that belief is also what can make the possibilities happen. Sharing those dreams of possibility together, rather than living in anxiety or complaining about what's not right or not the way we want it to be, that's what can make the dreams real, including our dream that Ed wrote this morning about the kind of congregation we want to be. As Jeff Bogosik says, our collective perceptions shift when we are in touch with possibility. Our efforts increase and are focused. Our outcomes then change. This process of being a people of possibility in a community beyond the individual is sounding kind of familiar to me right now. Why do you think that is? Could it be because it just happened here? What am I talking about? What am I talking about?
Bathrooms.
Parking lot. Capital campaign. Yes. It's much bigger than bathrooms, but it is bathrooms. The capital campaign and planning for the bathroom and parking lot project. When the Board of Trustees 2 years ago came to believe that building bathrooms on this level and rebuilding the parking lot were necessary from the perspective of spirituality, love, and justice, that started a shift. Because when we were first talking about it as a Board of Trustees, our language was kind of tentative, kind of conditional. We were hesitant to say, this will happen, this will be, we will do it, partly because we always know, partly because of our congregational polity, but because you're all autonomous adults, we know, the Board of Trustees is not in charge, can't order people around, that it might not happen. That was, a reality. But then I think the board realized that in order to create and commission a task force to make this happen, we had to give them a charge that was positive and clear. We couldn't say to the property improvement ministry team, well, if you think you can do this, maybe you should do it. That wouldn't have worked. So the board as leaders had to say, this is the scope of what you will do. These are the parameters. These are priorities. Now please do it, and we will support you all the way. And that shift to believing in the possibility made a huge difference. It opened the door for the possibility to be shared and to become reality. And now, for the first time ever, we have run an organized capital campaign, and it came in at 138% of goal. And this happened because people were willing to imagine about what was possible and to believe in it, and to believe, therefore, that we had the capacity to do this. And that wasn't about just us as individuals, but as a community. It means we can do this whenever we need to. We can believe in a possibility, a dream. We can then increase our efforts to make it happen, and we can get the possibility to reality. You just have. So we can also write our own story of possibility as a religious community, seeking to live in this world in a way that uplifts and upholds our seven principles. Wouldn't it be kind of interesting and exciting to literally write that story in the third person, in the present tense? We can write many of those stories together, believing in our shared possibilities and making them happen so that this community and the world around us becomes more beautiful and just. So let's keep doing that. I invite you as individuals to write your own story of possibility. I personally would love to read your stories. Maybe you could write them and get together in a small group and read them to one another for support and encouragement. And together, we could do that as a community. We could write our own story of possibility together. It would be a way of strengthening our sense of identity and purpose as a Unitarian Universalist community. And it would show us that future we want to share, that dream we want to fulfill. Here's what poet Kaylin Haught says about this time kind of possibility. She writes, "I asked God if it was okay to be melodramatic, and she said yes. I asked her if it was okay to be short, and she said, it sure is. I asked her if I could wear nail polish or not wear nail polish, and she said, honey, she calls me that sometimes. She said, you can do just exactly what you want to. Thanks, God, I said. And is it even okay if I don't paragraph my letters? Sweet cakes, God said. Who knows where she picked that up? What I'm telling you is yes, yes, yes. Let us live into that possibility together. Let's live in the house of yes together. Amen to that.